We are doing Pashat Nitzavim. We are holding Revi. The 30th chapter, Pasuk Aleph. Ve'aya, and it will be, Chiyavo alecha devarim me'ile ha'beracha v'aklala. When it will come upon you these things, the blessings and the curses. Asher natati lefanecha, that I have placed before you. Va'ashevota levavecha, you must take it to heart, b'chol ha'goyim, throughout the nations. Asher idicha Adonai lo'echa shama. That God has scattered you over there, wherever you are, take it to heart when these things happen. Vishavta, and you have to repent. Return to the worship of Hashem, and Adonai Elohecha, till Hashem your God. Vishamatav kolol, listen to him, b'chol sha'onuchim tzavcha yom, and everything that I command you today. Here we have the mitzvah of tshuva. When things go bad, so we have to stop and do tshuva and say, wait a second, why is this happening? Okay, so Vishavta Hashem Elokecha means return to the concept of being a Yirei Shamayim. Return to fearing Hashem. That's step one. Do I accept him or don't I accept him? Am I interested in what he has to say or not? Vishamata Bekolo, so the word Shema, the Rashba explains, has three meanings. The word Shema can mean to physically hear. A deaf person doesn't hear. The word Shema can mean to understand. You speak a language that I don't understand. I don't understand. And then the word Shema could mean to obey. So the Pasuk is telling us, first return to the concept of that being a God-fearing person. And then you evolve from that to Veshamatav Kolo, you listen to his mitzvot. First Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemaim. You begin with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You accept the concept that Hashem is running the world. And from that you evolve into Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, the acceptance of listening to what Hashem tells us to do. Yeah? And if you look in Unkelos, you'll see what I said is very exact in the Targum of Unkelos. So the Torah is telling us that our responsibility is to return b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with all your lev and all of your nefesh, whatever that means. Okay. V'shav, you return. So then Hashem says, He will return you. V'shav Adonai Elohecha et shvutcha v'richamecha. Hashem will return you who have been exiled. V'shav, and Hashem will return, v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim, and gather you from all the nations, asher fitzcha Adonai Elohecha shama, that God has scattered you over there. Notice, God doesn't say, I'll bring you back. God says, I will return. And from here, our sages tell us the concept that when we're in exile, Hashem is in exile together with us. We say in Kaddish, le'eila min kol birchosa, v'shirasa, God is above all the blessings and songs, tushbichosa, the praise, v'nechemosa, and comfort. We say that God Himself mourns the destruction. All day long, God is mourning our exile. When we say Kaddish, God says, woe that I exiled my children. And we say God is in exile with us. Wherever we go, Galta Shechina, the Shechina is exiled. So Hashem says, Vishav, I myself will return. When you come back home, I come back home with you. Because wherever you are, I am with you. Yeah.
Nowadays,
we can say that He's halfway with us. Okay, we're here, right? So He's with us over here. Okay. So this concept of Shimon Bar Yochai taught us that Hashem loves us so much, wherever we are, Hashem is with us. And when we come back, Hashem comes back with us. Okay. Im yendach habikzeh shemayim. If you've been exiled and scattered to the edge of the heavens, Hashem says, Misham yikabetzcha Adonai Elohecha, Misham yikachecha. God will gather you from there, God will take you from there and bring you back, bring you close to him, to the land of Israel. And Hashem will bring you up back to the land that your forefathers inherited, and you will inherit it. And Hashem will make you things good for you, and Hashem will make you multiply even more than your forefathers did. So, over here, the Pasuk says we are coming back to the land that our forefathers inherited. And we will inherit it. So what does that mean? So Chazal Darshni are very important limud. They tell us, in this pasuk, we derive that there are two Yerushot. There's Yerusha Rishona, the first inheritance, and then there's the second inheritance. But beyond that, there is no third inheritance. Meaning, after the inheritance of Ezra, that's it, it's ours. It's not leaving us. So this applies to all the questions. Do you have to do Chumas and Maestros today? the holiness of the land of Israel remain, even though we were exiled? Or do we say, no, the holiness is gone, and this is a big machloket, right? Obviously, the Rambam doesn't hold like this brisa that we just quoted. So that's the big question. Do we say that now the everything is holy? And this divides into a few questions. The holiness of the land of Israel. Do we have the mitzvah of Shemitah now? Do we have it all together, or do we not? When they first had a question of making the Heter Mechira, so there were some rabbis in Europe that said, you don't need a Heter Mechira. You could eat all the fruits of Shemitah without a Heter Mechira, because who said there's Shemitah anymore? It's a big machloket whether you have Shemitah today. And you have a situation where Jews are going to die of hunger. If they don't rely on this, they're going to die of hunger. So who said you even need this? Maybe you rely on the opinions that say that there's no Shemitah altogether, because people are going to die of hunger. So,
holiness is only there if the people are there?
No. If we're not here, what do we care what they do? It's not our responsibility.
Okay, the holiness of the land.
The holiness of the land? No. The holiness.
Those who say that holiness isn't there anymore.
Right. Also, that means that there's no mitzvah of Shemitah, no Truma. When we re-inherit it and divide it and give each tribe their section, so then the holiness will come back. But right now, so that's why then, when it was Pikuach Nefesh, there were opinions that said, you don't even need a Heter Mechira. You could just rely on the opinions that don't go with this Braisa. If we go with this Braisa, the Braisa and Seder Olam, the Gemara and Yevamas, so then we say that everything is still holy, the land of Israel is still holy, so we still have Shemitah Midrabanan, we still have Trumas and Maisers Midrabanan.
There's a Braisa that goes against that?
So it's a machloka the Gemara brings. It's a Gemara in Shavuos, it's a Gemara in Megillah, it's a Gemara in many places. Okay, so the Torah tells us that we will re-inherit it. Umal. Okay. Okay, we'll continue. Umal Adonai Elohecha et levavcha ve et levav zarecha. And God will remove the foolishness of your hearts and the hearts of your children. Milah is always the removal, right? It's the removal of the foreskin, and here it's the spiritual foreskin of the heart. La'avat Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshcha l'man chayecha. To love Hashem with all your hearts and all your souls for the sake of your life. Sometimes we think we love Hashem for His sake. No, it's for our sake. In general, that's the case. Whenever you love someone, so loving someone is wanting to give them. But when we love, we're doing more for ourselves than we're doing for the other person. This concept of Hashem's removing the spiritual foreskin from our heart and the hearts of our children, so that's in the days of the Mashiach. B'zman hazeh, the nature of mankind is that if the father is a chacham, we have four children in the Agada, the four children represent the way of mankind. Ordinarily, if the father is a chacham, then the son is going to want to rebel and he's going to go in the opposite direction, he's going to be a rasha. The next generation, they have no idea what anything is. They have no interest in rebelling. They're just a tam. They still see the grandfather. They have a concept of what Judaism is about, but they have no need to rebel. It's the grandfather, and they don't have any concept. By the they get married, they have children. Their children never saw the grandfather, or they see their grandfather, who's the rasha. They're sheinoy del shol. They have no concept what's going on. Then they send their children to Machon Meir. They tell them, come, you got to know you're Jewish. The kids come here, and we start the cycle all over again. They become chachamim, and we continue. Hashem tells us, you should know, there's going to be a time when your kids won't have to rebel. Umal Hashem elokecha et levavcha. Hashem will remove the foreskin of your hearts ve'et levavzecha and your children. There won't be a situation where you have to worry that if I'm observant, what will be with my kids? I have a friend that when he became a teenager, so him and his brother were zealots. So their father started taking on every leniency he could find. And afterwards, when they became married, when they got older, so he went back to his regular way of living. So they asked him, what's going on? So he said, I figured if I live with all my stringencies, you'll want to rebel. And you'll have nowhere to rebel to the right, so you'll rebel to the left. So I figured I'll go left, I'll take on all the leniencies I could find. And then you guys will want to rebel, so you'll automatically go the opposite direction. You'll say, Dad, no, you can't eat the sechser, you can't. And it worked. It worked. I don't know. I guess he's a very smart man, but it worked. I don't know how you do that, but I don't know. Pasuk Zayin. V'natan. So Hashem says, you'll do tshuva. And then, v'natan adnai lechet kol ha'alot eila aloivech v'atsonech asher dafucha. Hashem will place all these curses that you're worried about them on your enemies, those that hate you, those that chase you. And here we really have to go into a discussion. The Malbim discusses that there are two concepts. There's oyev and sone, two different levels of hatred. I don't remember. He makes a discernment between the two.
What's going to happen?
You do tshuva, I'll make things better for you. Yeah. V'atat tashuv, and you'll do tshuva. V'shamatam b'kol Adonai, and you'll listen to Hashem's mitzvot. V'asit et kol mitzvotav, you will do all the mitzvot. Asher anochim tzavcha yom, that I'm commanding you today. Because on this day, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die. Parshas Nitzavim is Moshe Rabbeinu's last day. And he says, okay, we just reviewed the whole Torah. You got to do it. V'oticha Adonai lecha b'chol ma'asei yadecha. And Hashem will make you succeed with all everything you do. Be it your children, be it your cattle, be it your fruits, everything will flourish and for good. Because some people have things flourish and it's for bad. A person can find himself with a family of 15, 20 kids and he has no handle on them. He can't teach them what's right and what's wrong. He can't bring them food. He can't support them. So sometimes a big family can drown a person. Hashem says, I'll make you multiply and I'll make it be for good. A person can find himself with a lot of money and then his kids don't know what to do with all the money, so they end up going for drugs and looking for thrills. So every blessing, we need this lit tova. It should be for good. We say it on Rosh Chodesh, and when we bench Rosh Chodesh, and in general, it's a very important concept. For God will return to rejoice when it's good for you, just as he rejoiced over your forefathers. And this is an important concept, that Hashem wants what's good for us. You know, sometimes we don't see it. Now we have to know that he's the Father. Parents always say, son, this hurts me much more than it hurts you. And I never know if it was true or not. So, when our children started reaching a point where we had to punish them, so I asked my mother, is it really true that it hurts the parents more than the children? My mother said, 100%. A parent can sometimes hit a child and the child goes to his room and cries for 2 minutes, and the parent goes to his room and cries for 2 hours. My mother told me 100%. And I got to tell you as a parent that it's really that way. So you'll see. For you will listen, you will accept the mitzvos of Hashem, to watch the mitzvos, the statutes that are written in this Sefer Torah. For you will return to Hashem with all your hearts and all your souls. For you have to know the mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, it isn't beyond you. That's the first concept. A person sometimes approaches the mitzvos and he thinks, great, that's for tzaddikim. What does it have to do with me? I can't handle this Shabbos. I can't handle the davening three times a day. So the Torah is telling us an important concept. You know, it's not beyond you. You're capable of doing it, and it's not distant from you. It's natural. The natural way of living in this world is according to the Torah. We might not be used to it. It's like a guy who grew up in the jungle. He's not used to showering. He's not used to living a certain type of lifestyle. So you get him used to it. It takes time, but at the end of the day, this is the way that's natural. Lo v'shamayimi. The Torah isn't in heaven. If it were in heavens, you'd have to go get it from there, but it isn't. Chazal tell us, what's lo v'shamayimi? You won't find it with someone who's hori, whose head is up in the clouds. You want to know who attains Torah? Someone who's modest. Lo v'shamayimi is a concept in halacha. Let's say a prophet walks in and tells us, God told me the halacha is that on Shabbos you're allowed to put cold soup on a plata, like the Yemenites do. Once it was cooked once, even though it's liquid and now it's cold, you can put it on the plata. So we'd say, hey buddy, you get the death penalty. Lo v'shamayimi, God says I don't interfere. On Moshe's last day, in our parsha, Hashem told us, lo v'shamayimi, Torah isn't in heavens. From now on, you guys rule. So if the Chachamim had a machlokes, and from heavens a heavenly voice came out and said, Rabbi Eliezer's right, the rabbi said, yeah, but God, you told us on Moshe's last day, Lo v'shamayimi, the Torah is no longer in heaven. Lo v'shamayimi also tells us, God says, I have nothing left up here. Meaning, if a guy walks in and walks on water and says, God gave a new Bible, a new testament, we tell him, no, God said, in the end of the real Bible, God said, Lo vashamayim, I have no more Torah left in heaven. Everything I had to say, I finished. I've given it to you. Lo vashamayim, there's nothing left up here, so to speak, God's saying. Everything I had to say, I've said. Lemo mi alelano shamayim avikhen alanu, that a person would say, who's going to go up to heaven and bring us down this new laws? V'yashmenu tamen asena, and he'll teach us and we'll perform. No. Our sages say, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Jews spent 30 days mourning. They spent 30 days mourning. They forgot 3,000 halachos. So Yeshua asked God, God, help us out. And God says, no, I told you. Otniel ben Knaz. Okay. And the Torah, you don't have to cross the sea to attain Torah. Sometimes you do. Some people have to come to Mechon Meir. They're living in Chutzart, so they have to cross the sea. But in general, Torah isn't across the sea. You can find it wherever you are. Especially today, you have internet. So, if it were across the sea, so you'd have to cross it to get there. You don't have to say, who's going to cross that sea and bring us the Torah and teach us? Now, Chazal say that you won't find Torah by people who are businessmen. If you're spending your whole life running after money, going on ships and trying to find the cheap markets, you're traveling to Asia, you're traveling back and forth to make money, you can't learn Torah. Now, this is an interesting concept. On the one hand, the Gemara says, if you see people that are merchants, you won't find them to be the greatest sages. On the other hand, there's a sefer called the Afike Yam. The Afike Yam, he was a rabbi, and he wrote a very, very deep book in learning Gemara. And he writes in the introduction to his second section of the book, he says, those of you who learned the first section will undoubtedly be disappointed when they purchase the second section. He says, when I wrote the first section, I was a businessman. So then I had to travel long business trips to go and purchase things. And during those business trips, no one spoke to me, so I could sit and learn and focus on the wagon as I was traveling to go and purchase all the goods I would sell. So I was able to learn most of the day, most of the night, because I was a businessman. Ever since then, I became a rabbi of a community. There's no day, there's no night. People keep coming to me with questions. I haven't been able to learn. So I wrote the second section to the book. But I have to tell you, you're going to be disappointed. It's not as good as the first section, because now I'm a rabbi, so I can't learn as well. So you see, on the one hand, what? How do I know? But in ancient times, to be a businessman meant you could learn. Rabbi, the Rav in Efrat. What's his name, the Rav in Efrat? There's a Rav in Efrat who people ask him a lot of questions. So he once said to a friend of mine, he said, the only time he gets to focus on his learning is when he flies. When he's flying on the plane, there are no cell phones, he could sit and learn. That's when he gets his best learning done. So every rule has its exceptions, but in general, if a person is spending his time running after doing business deals, Chazal said he's not going to succeed in learning Torah, and they aligned it with this verse. Ki karov elecha davar, for the Torah is very close to you, b'ficho v'ilvavcha la'asoto. It's in your mouths and in your hearts to perform, and this is a reference to the oral law, to the Torah she'be'al peh. So, when is the Torah close to a person? When he maintains it in his mouth and in his heart. When a person goes to college and he doesn't take time to learn, and he comes to shul on Shabbos and he doesn't even know what parsha it is, so then he can't say, oh, the Torah is so close to me. No, in order for the Torah to be close to a person, so when he's on his way to college, he should listen to an MP3 player and listen to a shir. When he's on his way back, he should listen to a shir. When he can, he should lean in the shul, so that forces him to prepare the parsha. When he can, after davening in the morning, he should learn a little bit with Rashi. A person has to find ways of making the Torah in his mouth and in his heart, and then the Torah will really be close to a person. And this is important. You guys, Bezrat Shem, should continue learning till 120. But chances are you'll have other things that occupy you. You're going to have a job. You're going to have a family. So I always encourage people to give shiur. If you're responsible to give minchas chinuch shiur on Shabbos, so then during the week you're going to be forced to prepare. What do you think? If I didn't have to give this shiur here tonight, I wouldn't know anything. But one of the reasons I'm here is because it forces me to learn beforehand. When I got married, so my Rebbe, Rav Pesen Zatzal, called me in, and he told me, until now, it was enough that you wanted to learn Torah. From now, you have to enter situations that obligate you to learn Torah. Now life changes, because now you have other obligations. So the fact that you want to learn Torah, well, other obligations will come first. So enter situations that obligate you. And I'm telling you guys the same thing. You're going into college, so be a Baal Kore, read in shul. You can't prepare a whole parasha, so prepare half a parasha. Read in mincha, read Monday and Thursday. That'll force you to learn a little bit of the parasha. Give a shir. You can't give a shir to the balabatim in shul. Give a shir to the youngsters. Give a shir to the youth minion. There are definitely people who know less than you. There's a friend of mine whose father-in-law is not joking.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a friend of mine who's... Okay, I'll tell you two stories. His father-in-law made aliyah from Russia, and right away he had to start working. He works as a security guard. He works half the night sitting and watching over a factory. That's his job. He doesn't speak the language. He doesn't know almost anything. But, doesn't know almost anything when it comes to speaking Hebrew or learning Torah. But a little bit he could read, and he loves Judaism. So all week long he prepares a little bit, and comes Shabbos, he speaks 5 minutes between Mincha and Ma'ariv. He gives a small shir, and he said to my friend, he said, I know that I'm not a Talmud Chacham, but I also know that what I'm telling them, they don't know. I prepare all week, and now I have it by Torah that they don't know. So I'm giving them Torah, so I'm not their rabbi, but a little bit I could give him, and he's very smart. He's found a way that he can give others in Torah, and he's also forcing himself to learn. So every person has to think, how do I enter situations that I'm obligated to teach others, and then it'll obligate me to learn. Enter situations that force you to learn. Now you're in yeshiva, you're learning all day. After you leave yeshiva, so some people are disciplined, but it always helps to have things that force us. So each of you has to think. There's an excellent thing online. Every guy before he leaves, I try to set him up with this. It's called Partners in Torah. That you learn with someone over the phone, either once a week or every day, however many times you want. I have a chavrus every night on the phone for 5 minutes. We learn one halacha in the Chafetz Chaim. So I always wanted to learn the Chafetz Chaim Shmiras HaLashon. And it's one of those things you want to do, but somehow you still want to do it 20 years later. So in order to ensure that I actually do it, I set up a chavrusa. So every night for 5 minutes, as tired as I am, sometimes I can barely open my eyes, but he calls. If I don't call him, he calls me. So we learn. So every person has to find the places where he could force himself to learn Torah. Re'ei, take note, look, says the pasuk. Re'ei, natati lefanecha yom tachim ve'tatov. Behold, I have given before you today that which is life and that which is good, and they're both contingent on one another. Ve'tamavet ve'tara, and I've also given you the potential for death and that which is bad. And here Hashem is summarizing for us the concept of Bechira Chofshit. Hashem tells us, you should know, I'm going to let you go whichever way you want. I run the world, but I don't interfere. You want to be bad? You want to go after death? Fine, I'm not going to interfere. You have a choice which way you'll go. You have a choice to go with life and good. You have a choice to go with death and bad. Asher anochi mitzavecha yom, I'm commanding you today, la'avat Adonai Elohecha lelecht bidrachav, to love Hashem and go in His footsteps. And we've discussed last week going in Hashem's footsteps is a reference to being a kind person. And to keep the mitzvos and the statutes and the laws. Then you will live and multiply. Hashem will bless you in the land that you are coming to inherit. Notice, throughout the Torah we find the blessing is connected to the land of Israel. It goes hand in hand. You come here, you're in your natural habitat, then the blessings are natural and the performance of the Torah is natural. Hashem tells us, I'm commanding you to love Hashem. So we might think that that's life. No, that's what's good. Notice in Rashi, it's a very interesting point. Keeping the mitzvos, we might think that's life. Rashi says, no, that's good. You want what's good in life? That's the keeping of the mitzvos. And then you'll get life. And if your heart turns and you don't listen, so we might think that's death. You're not performing the mitzvos. No, that's what's bad. I wouldn't have thought that's what's bad. I would have thought that's not life, living without Torah. He says, no, that's what's bad. What evolves from that, then if you turn and you err and you Nidach is to err, and you bow to foreign idols and you serve them, Higati lachem ayom. I'm warning you. I'm going to tell you toughly. Ki avod tovedun. You will be lost. That's the death. You will not have long days on the earth that you are crossing the Jordan to come there to inherit it. I am testifying against you today. The witnesses are the heavens and the earth. I have placed life and death before you. Blessing and curse. Please choose life so that you and your offspring will live. So what does it mean, uvachata b'chayim? Rabbi Yishmael told us, what's uvachata b'chayim? Have parnosa. You want to choose life? Have an umanut. Get a trade. Have something you could support your family with. Chazal, it's a Yerushalmi in Kiddushin. Kiddushin in the first chapter, the seventh Mishnah. So Chazal discussed the obligations of a father to the child. One of the obligations a father has towards his children is to teach them a trade. Teach them a way of making a living. So if your parents got you a driver's license, my father always told us when he got us, when he sent us to driver's ed and gave us driving classes, he said, I fulfilled my obligations. Worst case scenario, you could be a taxi driver. Now you have a trade. Whether you'll go to college, you'll get a better trade. I hope you will. But you should have something in your pocket. So Chazal told us, "V'chata b'chaim," choose life. Choosing life means have a way of living. Have a way of living legitimately and respectfully. That's that a person is supposed to have a way of supporting himself. And that's a continuation of the Pasuk. Leman tichye, so that you could live. Leman tichye, ata vezarecha, so that you and your children live. From here Rabbi Akiva derived, a person has to teach his child how to swim. Your father didn't teach you. You learned. Sometimes a person lands in the water. You got to know how to take care of yourself. Today you might say, if you live in Chutzlaret, so you have to learn self-defense. Or get a license for a gun. I don't know. I mean, what are the dangers that a person faces or might come to face in his day-to-day life? So I don't know what they are today. Maybe we'll still say that a person has to teach his son how to swim. I'm not sure. Pasuk Chaf. La'ava et Adonai Elohecha lishma bekolo ledov kavo. To love Hashem your God. To listen, to accept His mitzvot. And to cling to Him. You'll notice that this concept of accepting Hashem's mitzvot repeated itself three or four times already in the parasha. Ki hu chayecha, for Hashem is your life, ve'orech yamecha, and your longevity, lashevet al adama, so that you will have longevity to inhabit the land, asher nishba Adonai avotech le'avraham le'yitzchak le'yaakov latet lehem, that God promised your forefathers to give them. So our pasuk said, we have to cling to Hashem. How do you cling to Hashem? You want to get close, stick to Hashem. How do you do that? So Chazal told us, you want to stick to Hashem, marry off your daughter to a Talmud Chacham. Should be your mishpacha. Should be your son-in-law. You want to stick to Hashem, do business with a Talmud Chacham. Give him business, a way that he can make a living. You want to stick to Hashem, give from your wealth to a Talmud Chacham. A person can invite a Talmud Chacham to a meal in his house. A person can find a way of helping Talmud Chacham out. Talmud Chacham is Hashem's representation in this world. How do you stick to Hashem? Hashem says, help them out. Find ways of helping them out. If you can, the best is, you yourself be one. Hey, you're not one. So at least marry off your daughter to one.
Ki hu... daughter of one.
You should also marry the daughter of one if you could, right? But that's a complicated concept. The concept of Bat Talmid Chacham today... So you have to know who's a Talmid Chacham. Not every person that has a beard and wears a long coat is a Talmid Chacham. And right. you have to find the real Talmid Chacham. And Talmid Chacham, so that's not so easy. And once you find one, who says he's going to want to marry his daughter off to you? And once you find one that wants to marry off his daughter to you, who said she's going to want to marry you? So it's not an easy thing. I know guys who have been holding out for over a decade for a Bat Talmid Chacham. And some of the rabbis say that today a Bat Talmid Chacham is a girl that learns well in seminary, a girl that comes from a Torah observant home and she learns.
Back then,
there
was like the only place they learned from was from the
parents. Right. it's complicated because there's a concept of Gilsa Diyankuta, what a person has in his blood from the time he was nursing, meaning My child knows that he won't make a blessing when the bathroom door is open. He knows. That's Allah. A lot of kids grow up, they don't have that concept. My child knows he's not supposed to make a blessing inside the shower room. He knows that when he washes his hands, so he makes the blessing al-tilas yadayim before he dries his hands. He knows that you're supposed to wait quietly after al-tilas yadayim till amotzi. A lot of things that a child knows because he grows up in an observant home. The more the parents know to observe, the more the children hopefully know. The higher the level of observance in the house, the more things that the child doesn't even think about that are second nature to them. Now, if a child grows up in a home where the father comes home 6 o'clock in the evening, turns on the TV, and then goes and washes the dishes, and then sits down for an hour-long supper discussing the news with the family, so then even though a child might say, well, I want my husband to learn Torah, that child doesn't have a concept of what that means. Whereas if a child grew up in a home where the father came home at 6 o'clock in the evening, put down his stuff and went out to Beis Medrash to learn for 4 hours, came home at 10 o'clock at night, had another chavrusa, woke up early in the morning and learned, and then learned with each of the children, and then sent them out to school, and then found ways to fill his day with Torah, that child has a different concept of learning Torah. There are concepts that a person has because that's how they grew up. So you can't totally deride the concept, even today. There is what to say that a person grew up with certain things in their home, that they become a part of them. At the same time, you have no way of verifying what happened in a person's home. Meaning, just because a person is a Talmud Chacham doesn't mean that he has good midos. We know, the Gemara says, you want to learn by someone. It's not enough that you know he knows his stuff. Check out what his midos are like. That means there are people who learn Torah and they don't have good midos. So you're going to want a bas Talmud Chacham, and then you don't want a wife that's going to start yelling at her husband and speaking not nicely to him. So every wife yells at her husband, but the question is how much and who hears it and what she says. Okay, so that's why on the one hand, there's still an aspect where you gain from it. You can't compare a girl that grew up in a jungle to a girl that grew up in a Talmud Chacham's home. And on the other hand, it's hard to know who's a real Talmud Chacham and who's a bat Talmud Chacham. The Torah says, Ki hu chayecha, for Hashem, the Torah, listening to Hashem's Torah and clinging to Hashem is your life. Chazal said, don't go on a journey with an Amoritz. If you have a person that you see isn't worried about his own life, certainly he won't be worried about your life. You go to a wedding, and a guy takes a beer, and then he takes another beer, and then you tell him, hey buddy, aren't you driving home? And he says, don't worry, it doesn't affect me, I handle my liquor, I'm fine. So Chazal said, you're not allowed to go with him. You see, he's not worried about his own life. So he's going to be worried about your life. Wherever you have a situation where you have to go with someone, and even if he's not the driver, even if you're the driver, but if you're going on a long journey, so then there are times you'll need him, there are times he'll need you. Don't go on a journey with him. Chazal tell us, Ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha. It is your life and your longevity. Learning Torah is one of the things that you eat the fruits in this world, but the keren, the principle, is still waiting for us in the world to come. It is chayecha, on the one hand, it is our life here, but it is our longevity in the world to come. Chazal tell us, if one is invited to read in the Torah, they call you up and they say, here, you have an aliyah. Come make a blessing. And a person says, no, I'm okay. Give it to someone else. So then, God forbid, they shorten his life. Because the Torah is called Orech Yamecha, or longevity. If one says, I don't need it, what he's saying really in heavens is, I don't need longevity. And the same thing is true if one is given the offer to bless. They tell you, here, you should bless, you should do Zimun. So you're not allowed to turn it down. Before they offer you, if they ask you, would you like us to honor you? They haven't yet honored you, that's one thing. But if they honored you, they say, you do the Zimun, you lead the blessing. So again, blessing also, Hashem says, if you bless him, that's, you get longevity. And one who turns it down, so gets the converse of that. So Chazal tell us, one is not supposed to turn those things down. Sometimes it gets a little bit sticky. They go around the table and everyone says, no, not me. And they come to you and you say, yeah, fine, I'll do it. So explain to them, na halacha, that you're not allowed to turn it down. Okay, any questions? So we have 5 more minutes. Maybe we'll look quickly at the haftarah. Yeah? Right. We were supposed to learn, weren't we supposed to learn 9:45?
Yeah, this is good.